I might continue this thing 2 weeks from tonight. This is something that the Lord has been on my case for a few weeks to talk about. And finally tonight, I wanted to show you a short DVD, but I was forbidden to do that because God wants you to hear about what we're going to talk tonight. We think about everything in our outward looks. Is that correct? When you're getting ready to dress, you make sure that you look at your hair and you comb it because you think it looks better having a combed hair. Is that correct? You make sure that you are well dressed so you don't look like a goof out there, because you're thinking about your appearance. We always want to have a good appearance. Is that correct? Yes. To other people out there, we think sometimes too much about what shall we eat or drink tomorrow. We think about how are we going to pay our mortgage. We think about who my children will marry. And we think about how will my grandchildren look like. I mean, we think about so much stuff and very little attention is given about our thoughts. And sometimes the thoughts that are filling our thinking and our memory could get us in trouble. A lot of people fail to realize, did you know that God x-ray your mind every day? Hallelujah. Are you with me here?
Yes.
As I was getting ready, what? Yeah, I check your mind every day to see what you're thinking. And that's a scary thought. To know that God is checking me to see what I'm thinking. And after I ponder about all these things, I have something together here for you tonight. And the title of my meditation is, What Does Fill Your Thoughts? I want to start in the middle of my sermon. Brother Harry, can you please put up there Psalms 94:11? Let's keep on the nearly inspired version. We should be careful about the things that we are thinking. And we should be careful when we approach the Lord with what we are saying. You know why? Read it with me. The Lord knows the thoughts of men. He knows that they are futile. God knows everything that we are thinking. And the majority of it, God thinks it's futile. What? Yeah. Why would a God think such thing? Because God has established a pattern that we should follow. God has some guidelines about what should be filling our thoughts on a daily basis. Now, can you think about, just for a moment, think about this. What if you are having a thought that you shouldn't have, and at that moment, Jesus Christ comes? That's trouble, isn't that right? So we should be careful and make sure that our thoughts are filled every day with good stuff and godly things.
Amen.
Now, I will not condemn you for watching TV. Absolutely not. Or for eating hamburgers. Some of you got it wrong. If you love hamburgers, more power to you. I just have to pray more for you. That's all. And that's what we do. If you like watching TV, we just have to pray for you more yet. That's all. But if you love to do something like this, it's okay. With you, not with me. Why? Your mind is able to absorb 3 to 15 trillion images per minute. And those images don't go away. It stays on your soft drive. And those are the things that will fuel our thoughts when our mind is idling. Mother used to say, an empty mind is the devil's workshop. We should be careful in the things that occupy our thoughts because God knows everything that is in our thoughts. And I wonder if this is the reason why God thinks that our thoughts are futile. So what is the pattern established by God when it comes to thinking? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. What are the things that should be occupying our thoughts on a daily basis? What is God's desire? Read it with me. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, isn't that something? Somebody says, it's impossible. I cannot spend all my time thinking like this. Why not? Is that for the fact that we delight ourselves in thinking nonsense? You know what I mean? So how do you handle thoughts that are not these that God is commanding us to do? I'll get there in a moment. But look at the list of things that God places here. Whatever is true. So if you're about to think something that is not quite true, shift the thought. Give an example. You know, my friend Jason is about to marry my friend Tyrone. You know it's not true. Huh? Two men not supposed to marry. This is not a true thought. You shift your mind. You know, when they get my sister, I'm going to beat her up. You know that's not a true thought either. Because you're not the one who disciplines the children in the house. Mom and dad is. You shift your thought. See, preacher, this is futile things. Yes, that's what God said in the previous verse. I know what man thinks, and their thoughts are futile. You know, I'm going to get even with brother Blankety. I'm going to get even with sister Blankety. Did you know what she had the guts to say about me? Shift the knob. Shift the thought. Why? The Lord says, vengeance is mine, not yours. So whatever is true, that's the kind of stuff that we should be thinking about. Now, Sister Yapti Yapti did me so much hurt. But my God says that the vengeance belongs to Him. Lord, I pray for my enemies, especially Sister Yapti Yapti. That's not true. Yes, it is, because Jesus told you to pray for your enemies. Jesus said that you should not seek for vengeance, because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Is that correct?
Yes, right.
So whatever stuff is coming to our mind, we balance it in the line of the scriptures, and if it's not true to scripture, we shift the thought right away. He says, whatever is noble, maybe we should leave this one right in there. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, we are good enough, big enough, we have enough brain cells to know what is wrong and what is right. And when the thought about something that is not right comes, shift it up. When whatever is pure, did you know that people commit more adultery with their eyes and their thoughts than what they consume? More adultery is committed with our thoughts than with our own bodies. You may say, you're pushing. I'm not. Jesus said, you heard what was said. If a man commits adultery with a woman, they shall be put to death. Is that right? He says, but I tell you, if he even thought about a woman with immoral intention, he already committed adultery. Are we together here? We can commit adultery in our thinking, in our minds, with our thoughts. So when that thought come, girl, did you see, brother? Oh, my Lord. Shift the thought. Because you don't want to be left behind because you committed adultery in your mind. He goes on, whatever is lovely. You know, sometimes we have some lousy way of thinking. Things that are not quite lovely. Don't let this thing occupy your mind. Whatever is admirable. What does he mean by that? Think about the stuff that you can do that will bring glory to God. Things that are praiseworthy, you know? Does he talk about, yes, things that are praiseworthy. What is a praiseworthy thing? It's something that you did, people will look at what you did and say, oh, praise God for that brother. Praise God for that sister. That's the kind of stuff that's supposed to be filling our heads. This is what we're supposed to be thinking about. I mean, there is no place in our minds for, like the Canadian says, ravish. No. No ravish in our minds. He says, you know what? Elder Ellis, may I have the backslide translation here? Watch this. Let's make it interesting here. Sum it all up, friends. I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditate on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. This is the pattern. That's the standard given by God to fill up our memories. I know that y'all don't have this kind of stuff, but just in case, you know, it's the church down the street. Just in case if you are tempted to go on that route, no. We will fill our thoughts with the good stuff that God is telling us to do. So you may ask, well, preacher, I hear you, but how do I do this? The switch, the shifting switch, the knob switch, takes place when you make an effort to transform your mind on a daily basis. Have you ever thought, have you ever gone through the experience that you had a bad thought and you say, I curse you out of my mind in Jesus' name. I've got the mind of Christ. And then the next day you have the very same thought. Has anybody gone through this year? So what do? We renew our mind on a daily basis. You know, we transform in the way that we do things. And you know, that piece of garbage, good for nothing, useless, punk, low life called devil, knows our weak spot. And those things, you know, that we tend to be weak on, He'll keep bringing. This is why Romans 12:2 makes the statement that you and I should be transformed. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Whatever the world is doing out there is not your business to do. They are the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to renew our mind on a daily basis. And that renewing comes, that transformation comes when we are actively fighting the bad thoughts. We are fighting the contaminating thoughts. Well, preacher, why should I do that? When we are stuck with the filthy stuff, we cannot test and approve the goodwill of God. So how do I get a sense of God's will? Get your mind in line. Get your mind in order. Think about the things of God. Pure stuff, you know. Admirable stuff. Praiseworthy stuff. Fill your mind with that stuff. Hallelujah. I am sitting down, waiting in a place to be seen. And they had a TV in there. And this thing was so loud. Within 5 minutes, there was at least 20 cursive words. And I was shocked to see that people actually are making money on this. That's one of the shows that a man is caught cheating on his girlfriend or wife, whatever. And then they bring all of them, they show where they were cheating. Somebody's actually going behind them filming this. And they are brought to the stage. And then there's, you know, people beating up people and cussing out each other. I asked the lady, can you please put this thing down? Excuse me? Can you put this thing down? It's giving me a headache. So everybody looked at me like I was crazy. And I'm thinking, how can they live and work in this place? I asked her, do you guys have this thing on every day? She said, every single day. Why? She said, people like it. So are you insane? She said, that's what I say. People love it. The lady said, we tried to put it on CNN, there people were complaining, no, 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 put it back. And then I'm thinking, no wonder they are fighting among themselves, they are breaking things, burning up stores and all that kind of nonsense going out there. That's not what's supposed to be filling our minds. And you know, I'm not trying to be cute around here. I can't stand in front of a TV for more than 5 minutes without having a headache. Or the desire to puke. I'm serious. There's so much garbage. And I'm thinking, sad part, of God's people are watching this thing. Are you with me so far? He tells you, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's just like a sister called here for prayer. She's falling apart. And they found 2 lumps, one on each side. And it was as deep as it could be. It reached the skull, the bones. Doctor said, well, we're not going to give you any hope. We will remove both of your breasts, and you're going to go immediately into chemotherapy. And your chances are 30-70. Then she has 30 of surviving, 70% of dying, because it's already on the bones. So she says, can we postpone it for next week? Why? I need to do something before we do surgery. So she called here. And I was on the other line praying for somebody. So the secretary gave me the number. When I call, I don't know who the person is. The phone was busy because she was trying to call here. So I hung up, started praying for somebody else. Then she called again. I am praying for somebody else. Finally, after some hour and a half, we finally connected. When she said what the problem was, I said, okay, you don't have to say anything anymore. Let's start one by one. Who in your family are you angry at? Nobody said, you're lying. Excuse me to tell you that. Who in your family are you angry at? I'm not angry at anybody. So then you know that left breast is going to go. What do you mean? So sis, I've been doing this for 30-something years. Anytime a woman comes with breast cancer on the left breast, she has grudges against somebody on the family, immediate family. It's my ex, that good for nothing. You idiot, you're calling and wasting my time. And then I'm talking, you say, no, nobody, nobody. And then I said, you're going to lose it. It's my ex, that good for nothing. You know what he said? I don't want to hear what he said. So we went through the whole singing this along, and finally I told her, are you ready to forgive this man? Are you kidding me? I pray for God and I ask God to help me to forgive him. And I think I forgave him. I asked, are you kidding me? What do you mean, are you kidding me? Did you say that you pray to God and ask God to help you to forgive somebody? Yeah. Is there anything wrong? I said, yes, everything is wrong about this. God cannot help you to forgive. I mean, you see that you're falling apart. So it doesn't take a rock scientist to understand, I've got to forgive this blessed of the Lord. Or you're going to go to the grave. I said, lady, unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and expecting your husband to fall dead. There was a... What did you say? I said, unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and expect your husband to fall dead. That was a grotesque talk. Before I could start saying anything, she said, Lord, I forgive this man. You know how much I hate him. And the prayer went on and on and on and on and on. Okay, now let's take care of the other one. Who among your acquaintances? You have the same. You don't have to go. I already know. Shemika, and then she went through the list. Some 10 names. So now we're going to do the same thing with Shemika, Trevon, and whatever names you call. She did. After she did all that prayer, then I prayed to her. So let's get something straight here. You don't ask God to give you strength to forgive somebody. That's ridiculous. God cannot force you to forgive somebody. That has to come from your heart. And until you do that, the devil will have you as a puppet. 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26. So this has to come from inside. Are we on the same page, ma'am? Yes. Have you forgiven these people? Yes. So it's going to take time for you to get healed. No, I want to be healed right away. Have you forgiven them? Yes. That's better. I'll let it come from the heart. Then I pray for this woman. This morning was a message for me. She went to see the same doctor Thursday. And they don't know what happened to the lumps. Nor to the cancer. Hallelujah. It disappeared. Hallelujah. Whatever is occupying our thinking that is not godly, that is not pure, that's not praiseworthy, has to go. We got to have our mind not only transformed, but renewed on a daily basis. It's only when minds are transformed that people are able to experiment the good and perfect will of God. You want to see how crazy it gets? Elder Ellis, give me the backslider translation here. It's crazy, but I love the way that he puts. Let's read it. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture. Did you think about that? That first statement in there? I mean, this is a powerful statement. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Let's continue. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So our minds gotta be changed, folks. Our thoughts have to be filled with good stuff, with stuff that comes from above. You say, okay, preacher, you say that the way for me to get rid of all the futile things, fertile things in my mind is by filling with this thing God gave, by transforming my way of thinking. But I still can't fight this. Give me something else. Elder Ellis, give me 2 Corinthians 10:5. And if you don't have that stuff marked on your Bible, I want you to underline that scripture right now in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Read it with me. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought that make it to make it obedient to Christ. So how do I deal with those thoughts that are fighting within me that are actually leading me astray from God? We start by destroying the arguments. We start by destroying the arguments. And then we bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? The bad thought come in, I bind you in the name of Jesus thought, get out of my mind because I have the mind of Christ. Persist, I command my mind, you are under submission, I bring you into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So bad thought, back off. You cannot stay on my mind. I have the mind of Christ, so you cannot reside in my mind. We bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And we demolish any argument. Have you ever had that experience that you're having a bad thought and you're trying to get rid of it, and then it's like another voice is speaking on the back? But you're a victim. You're a victim. Has anybody ever had this stuff? Well, demolish the arguments. Destroy the argument. Oh, shut up! Demolish the argument. But you don't understand. I was just ripped off. Well, thinking about killing that man is going to land you in jail. You go in and say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my key and I'm going to scratch his car from one end to the other. Then you say, no, thought of mine, I'll bring you into captivity to the obedience of the word of God, and this is not godly. And then the other one is going to say, but you were ripped off in $300. Are you with me so far? When those thoughts come, we crush them, we demolish them. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out of my head, you idiot. I've got the mind of Christ. And mind of mine, you better line up with the word of God. I bring you into captivity, into submission to the word of God. This is how we handle that kind of stuff. Now, you want to see how crazy it gets? Give me the backslide, the translation here, brother. We use our powerful God's tools for smashing warped philosophies. Smash it down, huh? Tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Say amen. I mean, this is powerful, huh? It's a beautiful scripture. We will use every powerful weapon, huh? God's tools for smashing warped philosophies. And we're going to tear down barriers that's going to be erected against the truth of God. And many times, the society in which we live will tell you and I different. It will tell us different. I was at a line recently, and there was one of those human beings in front of me that made sure of their unhappiness of having colored people around them. And I'm thinking, you're such an idiot. And I said, whoa, mind of mine. I bind you, evil thoughts. This is God's creation. This is one of the most beautiful people I have ever seen. Yes. And then they turn around and they look at me. You know, their mind is just getting agitated. And then I said in a loud voice, I bring you into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The guy turned, what is it? I said, I'm talking to myself. Oh, okay. But as they turn around, he dropped $100 bill. Mm-hmm. So I went and they put my foot on the top of the $100 bill. The Lord asked, what are you doing? I said, just getting ready to pick it up and give it to them. I pick it up. They look at me, huh? Said, mister, you just dropped $100. His jaw dropped. Excuse me? He said, check your money. You just dropped $100 bill. He goes, stick his hand in his pocket. Oh, D! You know the word D? And then he looked at me. And he could have kept that, said, I know. But I serve a powerful God. Amen. That will not allow me to do this. Then he looks at me, oh, you're cool, man, you're cool. So I know. And he left, didn't even say thank you. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies and tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. Amen. You know, why are my foot is on that money? My mind is racing. You know, he should have lost 1,000 just for acting the way he did. And I bind you my mind in Jesus' name. What's it? I'm talking to myself. His girlfriend said, what's going on? He said, some blankety. Talking to himself on the back. And my foot is right here on the top of his $100 bill. And that's when Jesus said, what are you doing? Just getting ready to pick up his money and give it back to him. We cannot be taken by what is going on in the world around us. We cannot be governed by this warped philosophy around us. Smash the thoughts. I'll be honest with you. I wanted to keep that $100. Just because of their behavior. Just for you to have an idea, the guy had tattoos even on his face. And go down through the neck and came down through here. He's driving an old Harley Davidson. And their clothes could smell bad a mile away. Got the picture? But you know, God created them too. Jesus died for them too. And I cannot allow warped philosophies and barriers that are raised against God's knowledge to occupy my mind. And this is how we handle this. There's going to be situations in life that we will be tempted to do some crazy stuff. Fight it. Fight it. Don't sit like a duck and let somebody else take over your thoughts. It may very well happen that one of these days we have one of those thoughts that's not supposed to be here. He might come back. Or we can just be taken out. And then I wonder, what do you think will happen? I don't know, but I certainly don't want to be taken away having a thought that is not pure, that is not noble, that's not admirable, that's not praiseworthy. May God give us the power to change our way of thinking on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
We'll continue 2 weeks from today. God bless you.
Amen.